back already?
He hurried out of the bedroom and back into the main room. He spotted the ruby Will lying on the floor and pocketed it quickly. If things went wrong and he had to leave in a hurry, at least he'd have something to show for his trouble. A quick look around to check that everything was as it should be, and then he took up a commanding posture by the fireplace.
Enter!
The door swung open, and Count Roderick and Robert Argent came in, followed by Sir Gawain and the Lady Heather. Jordan nodded brusquely to them. Gawain stood guard beside the door, one hand resting comfortably on the head of his axe. Heather started to smile at Jordan and then stopped, suddenly unsure as to exactly whom she was smiling at. The others glanced around the empty room and stirred uneasily as they realized Jordan was on his own. He smiled coldly.
If you're looking for the actor, he's in the Jakes. No doubt he'll be back in a minute.
Forgive me, sire. Now that you're recovering from your illness, you're looking so much better, it's hard to tell the two of you apart.
I wasn't ill. I was being poisoned. And the day you can't tell the difference between a prince of the blood and a strolling player will be the day I find myself some new advisors. I never thought he sounded much like me anyway.
Now, darling, don't be so touchy. Come and sit down here with me.
Jordan nodded grudgingly and allowed Heather to sit him down in the most comfortable chair and fuss over him. As before, she ended up sitting on the arm of his chair, and Jordan slipped his arm around her waist, as he'd seen Victor do.
Well then, let us discuss Dad's will. Oh, do sit down, all of you. You make the place look untidy standing around like that. If I'd wanted statues in my room, I'd have bought some.
Roderick, Argent, and Gawain pulled up chairs facing him and sat down. Jordan noted approvingly that Gawain was the only one who had placed his chair so that he wasn't sitting with his back to the door. Roderick frowned unhappily and leaned forward.
There isn't really much in your father's will that can be called favorable. Favorable to us, that is. Malcolm mentioned his fear of a sudden death, which suggests he believed someone might be planning to murder him, but there's nothing in the will to suggest he knew who the murderer would be. Assuming, of course, that Malcolm was murdered. We have no direct evidence.
It was murder. Dad's death was too sudden and too convenient to be anything else.
As you say, sire. The only clue as to the whereabouts of the crown and seal lies in the single phrase, with those who have gone before. It seems likely he was referring to the previous kings of Redheart, those who preceded him on the throne.
Jordan chewed on the inside of his cheek as Victor's background knowledge bubbled eerily at the back of his mind. He looked sharply at Roderick.
Dad hasn't been buried yet, has he?
No, Your Highness. He's still lying in state in the family crypt, according to law and custom.
So right now he's lying among his ancestors, those who have gone before. That's what the clue means. The crown and seal are hidden somewhere in the family crypt.
Our people have already searched there, sire. They found nothing. And it's a safe bet your brothers would also have had the place searched. If the crown and seal were there, someone would have found them by now.
Not necessarily. Dad said they wouldn't be easily found. Let's go. I want to take a look at the crypt myself.
Very well, sire. I'll summon a company of guards to escort us.
No. I think the fewer who know about this, the better. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's looking more and more obvious to me that we have a traitor somewhere among our people. Think about it. You were attacked twice when bringing the actor back to the castle. Outside of us, who knew the exact route you'd be taking? Then again, somebody told my dear brothers that we were using the actor as a double in public. That's why you were pressured into attending the testing. And finally, somebody has been feeding me poison for some time. That had to be the work of somebody close to us, somebody we trust. I'm not ready to point any fingers yet, but I don't feel inclined to take any chances I don't have to. We go alone down into the crypt. Just the five of us.
Six, including the actor.
I'm not waiting for him and his damned weak bladder. We'll leave word with the guards at the door, and he can wait here till we return. We don't need him. Now let's go. I've spent far too much time sitting around of late.
The royal family crypt turned out to be a huge stone chamber on the lowest floor of the castle. They had to go through two basements to get to it. The crypt was also a sanctuary, one of the oldest stable places in the castle. No magic would work there, for good or ill, and the dead slept undisturbed. K King Malcolm's family had lain in the crypt for generations, and their resting places were decorated with life-size bas-relief carvings in varying shades of marble. Some looked unsettlingly lifelike in the dancing torchlight, as though the pale, motionless figures were only sleeping and might awaken at a sudden noise. King Malcolm lay in state upon the tomb that was to be his. His body had already undergone the undertaker's arts to ensure preservation, but he wouldn't be finally interred until the last protective spells had been woven around him. There were too many unpleasant things that could happen to a dead body in Castle Midnight. Jordan moved slowly forward to stand beside the king. The morticians had done their job well. Malcolm's face still held a normal color, and he looked so peaceful he might almost have been sleeping. Almost. The others held back as Jordan studied the dead king. Up close, the illusion of peace wasn't nearly as convincing. The makeup that gave the face a seeming of life was glaringly obvious to Jordan's experienced eyes, and when he looked closely, he could see the tiny black stitches that held the mouth and eyes closed. There was no odor of decay, just a faint whiff of formaldehyde. Jordan tried to read a character in the king's still features, but death and the mortician's skills had wiped all personality from the face. It might as well have been a garishly painted doll. Jordan closed his eyes and let his mind drift, hoping some of Victor's memories might hold a clue as to where to look for the hidden crown and seal. Nothing came to him but the beginnings of another headache. Jordan opened his eyes again and thought hard. The answer had to be here somewhere, and he didn't have long to find it. Argent was keeping watch outside the crypt, but they could be interrupted any time. Jordan looked around him, taking in the eerie carved figures that surrounded him. They'd all been sculpted with the usual enigmatic smiles, but to Jordan, they all looked unbearably smug, as though they knew the answer but weren't going to tell him because he was an outsider and an interloper. He frowned suddenly. Different as the many faces were, they all had certain things in common. They were portrayed in their best and finest robes, each fold of marble lovingly detailed. And the sculptors had even added stone crowns and rings. Jordan smiled slowly as an inspiration blossomed within him. If you want to hide a crown and a seal, where better than among a great many other crowns and seals? Jordan glanced quickly around him. If they were here, they couldn't be under an illusion spell. The sanctuary would cancel that out. But since he couldn't see them, they must be physically disguised. He ran from tomb to tomb, checking each carved figure. The others watched uncomprehendingly. And then Jordan's fingers stumbled over one of the stone crowns as it moved under his touch.
Victor, did you find something?
I think so. It's a bit heavier than I'd have thought, but...
The others crowded in around Jordan as he carefully stripped away the plaster to reveal the true crown of Redheart. It was a simple, unadorned circlet of solid gold. He pulled at the rings on the stone fingers until one of them came loose. Under the thin covering of plaster lay a heavy gold ring bearing the royal seal of Redheart. Jordan held the crown and seal in his hands and then closed his eyes briefly as his tiredness caught up with him. The Lady Heather moved in beside him.
Are you all right, Victor? You mustn't overtire yourself. You've been ill, remember?
Oh, no, I'll be fine, Heather.